There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. And yeah, back in studio, one of those great guest hosts that filled in for me will be joining us here in just a second. Reminder, too, if you have not been reminded while I was gone, the phone number 343-0106, 343-0106 for a call or a text, and the FM Talk 106.5 app, free and waiting for you if you're an Apple user over at the App Store. And if you're a Google, if you go to Google Play, if you're an Android user, both places just look for FMTALK 1065. And you'll see our app, download it, and enjoy, stream the station on there, tons of other stuff, but also gives you a talkback feature, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right, before we get to the illustrious Cameron Smith, I want to just read one of the main texts. Thank you, as I just open up the text line. And y'all are already welcoming me back. That's good. But Squirrel Vereen, I guess he heard what I said at the end of Jeff's show, where I was gone to. I'd hauled Beverly Hillbilly style. Like, I don't remember. Like, I had clothes when I went to Alabama and maybe a stereo when I started at the university. My daughter had, I mean, it was like we were moving her into a two-bedroom house with the number. So Beverly Hillbilly style, the boy and I hauled the stuff up there and she flew and met her up there. But the, yeah, so that's where I've been. But Squirrel Vereen says, please don't lose your college kids to the Northeastern radicals. Well, Squirrel Vereen, don't worry. And I will say this, and then I can bring on Cameron because he'll probably laugh. He knows a little bit about my world. My daughter, even though she and I, you know, as a teenage girl, a little bit of oil and water, probably because we're so much the same. Squirrel Vereen, the beauty of where she's going to school, it is so left and so avant-garde that she will go the other way. She has my personality. I've said this before. I'm never as much. I'm way more conservative sounding. I'm always the same person, but I'm way more conservative sounding when I'm surrounded by liberals, and I'm more libertarian sounding when I'm surrounded by conservatives. It's a personality quirk. She has the same one, and to see with the group I dropped her off with, and a conversation she and I had the other day, I think the old not doing what everybody else does may have a quality effect there, Squirrel Vereen. So I think that's all right. All right, let's bring on my man, Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. You think that's probably fair as an idea here, yeah, that she's going to push back the other way?
Yeah, Sean. Yeah, my next-door neighbor attends the University of Vermont, and I quote, these people are just kind of weird. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
But what she said, I met some nice girls, but she said, Dad, there's in my dorm, there's a lot of people that are really weird. And my daughter's like, you know, it's all where you are. Like, if I'm in Scandinavia, I'm short. If I'm on the Yucatan Peninsula, I'm a tall guy, right? It's all relative to where you are.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's got to push him back the other way. So it's going to be a good thing. Yeah, I was up there taking a tour through, went to New York, but stayed, you know, in the swing state of Pennsylvania trying to affect the politics there. We hadn't had a chance to talk about this. As you look at Pennsylvania, this keystone state and key to the, at least what we're seeing on the electoral map, is the going with Waltz and not Shapiro, is that... What do you take from this? Waltz is driving the conversation, but just blocking and tackling, why do you take Waltz and not Shapiro?
Well, because of the anti-Semites in Michigan. But we can't say that on the radio. So it's actually, well, I mean, that's the truth, is that the Democratic Party has a material number of folks who are not aligned on American support for Israel. And it's not just a foreign affairs issue. It is a view towards the Jewish people. And they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to deal with it. In fact, but the vice president doesn't want to talk about anything right now. That's been very apparent. But this love affair that the media has found with Waltz, when CNN is calling him cuddly, and we're just seeing he's an everyman. He's your best friend. Mm-hmm. He had a narc line for COVID. I mean, this is not a, you know, warm fuzzy type guy when you look at the policies. In fact,
but it's not about policy, really, right? Seeing, I mean, it's about image. No. This is the Democrat way. It's the camo hats they're running for Harris and Waltz, right? Their campaign hats. The camo, and we can get into camo and chameleons here in a little bit, but the camo is about the image, not about the substance. And I think it's true of the candidate.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people wear a lot of camouflage who couldn't hunt. Like, I know how this goes. And this dog isn't hunting either. The notion that Wallace and Harris are anything but rank and file liberals is just a misnomer. And I get the everyman appeal that they're going for here, but I think Harris doubled down on somebody that was a lot like her. And we can argue that Trump did the same thing with J.D. Vance, but I really think that's what we're seeing right now is both leading candidates have doubled down with somebody on the ticket with them that's just like them.
Does it say, is it just because it's new, these announcements are within the last month, or the fact that we're spending the time, we being the ubiquitous you, the media, talking about VPs, not about the candidate?
Well, how are you going to talk about Harris?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't give you anything. Yeah. It's vibes, my brother. It's vibes.
Yes, it is vibes, and I've looked at it. In fact, I got a piece coming out over on AL.com that points out that her accomplishments, just that. I Googled it because, as you do, I Googled it to see, well, what are her accomplishments? And no joke, USA Today had a primer on this where one of her accomplishments was she visited a Planned Parenthood clinic. And that was the accomplishment. It was
she got herself there
on abortion.
So
she made it to the clinic and stood there, and it was historic. That's not an accomplishment. And when you really look at stuff, for example, the USA Today piece said, well, you know, she's leading on civil rights because you know, on
why?
Juneteenth, she co-sponsored, when a senator, a measure to make Juneteenth a holiday, and she advocated for a bill that wasn't taken up by the Senate. Those aren't accomplishments. Those are not non-things. And they're stretching, but it's just not there. She doesn't have much of a track record.
No, I wondered, too, just thinking, often in polling, they'll take a candidate for whatever party, Democrat or Republican, and then put them up against generic Democrat or Republican, right? You've seen this. And so many times that they'll be like, look at this polling. The incumbent Republican or incumbent Democrat would lose to unnamed opposite party. That's because there's no I wonder if that's what she's trying to do. It's just be a generic, without having policy, except she now has turned like, she does have one policy point, which is something Trump brought up first, right, about not taxing the tips. I mean, that she's moved with that.
Yeah, and if Harris tells you that that's a bad idea, we shouldn't just pick random incomes that we don't tax. That's bad policy. And I understand it's popular, but you know what else is popular? Not taxing my income or your income. Like, let's just pick incomes and say we're not going to tax that anymore.
Well, that's populism, right? So, but she's got, right. I mean, that's the idea she's going with. That's the one piece that we know from her that's what she's for. And it's something that Trump said anyway. So it's still just all about looks.
Yeah. Well, this is the Hope and Change campaign revisited. Barack Obama's campaign. And you'll recall it's a very similar setup. You had a senator that hadn't served very long who everybody projected their hopes and dreams onto this wonderful senator who was going to be a postpartisan candidate and lead America to a glorious future. And he turned out he was a rank and file liberal. I mean, that's really what we got. And that's what the campaign strategy is here with Harris, combined with Joe Biden's hide in the basement strategy. And I'll say right now, it's actually becoming very effective because Trump's had a string of not greats where he's tried to put himself out there. He's been where she hasn't, and whether it was the National Association of Black Journalists, whether it was the two-hour Mar-a-Lago presser that he did, or the thing with Elon Musk, what's happening is he's putting himself out there, and the media is beating him to death with his own words. Harris is hiding, and the media is perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, I do wonder how long that could, it probably can go the whole way till early November, but I do wonder at what point someone in those newsrooms really just says, okay, well, we got to do at least something here, right? It may never happen at certain agencies.
But why? I mean, and Sean, I hear you, and I think that's how rational people might think, but we've exposed the bias in the media. This is true. We say it like it's a monolith, but it's not. Talk radio tends to be more conservative. You have your cable news channels that they make their allegiances known. But then there's this murky legacy media where these are your newspapers that have been around for a long time. And I can tell you, as somebody that writes for the legacy media, it's overwhelmingly left of center, and not just a little bit. It is very biased. And so what we see happening is those biases are emerging, and they're saying, well, actually, we could really press her and point out she's hiding and she's not doing what she needs to do to inspire leadership. Or we could go attack the guy that we really don't like. And guess what they're deciding to do?
Yeah, always taking the easy take on this. I want to address your time about your opinion pieces over at AL.com. Recent one, the most recent that I had up there, I guess while I was gone, you posted it up about Reagan's Big Tent has an Alabama champion. The Big Tent, and you're talking about Senator Britt here, and I want you to get into it, but the Big Tent question, right? This idea that the Democrats were the Big Tent, and I could maybe turn around and say that's why they're having a problem. They got a judge, you know, they can't have Shapiro because people in that tent are anti-Israel, even though Democrats for a long time have been very, very much, I mean, Jewish people for a long time have been Democrats. So does the tent get so big that it eats itself? What about the Republican Big Tent, and what about this champion for it?
Well, it was actually a really interesting sequence of events because, obviously, Senator Britt's State of the Union response was, she was crucified in the media, and you can say what you want to about it, but those speeches never really go particularly well for the party that's not in power in the White House. And I started to notice when I saw, I actually had a chance to talk to her, and she was talking about some of the things that she's really working on and excited about. And I just sort of, it dawned on me, why haven't I heard about any of this? Other than press releases in my inbox, how come I don't know about efforts to improve savings for average families? How come I haven't seen, you know, efforts at DHS to give Betty better body armor for female officers? Why? I mean, and I can keep looking, and there's a number of these things. And, you know, childcare, another one, a big initiative she was working on. Why haven't I heard of them? And the answer dawned on me because, you know what? It's not as much fun as it is to talk about J.D. Vance not sleeping with a couch. Talking about people who have buckled down and done the job and done it well. When you look at Britt's track record and what she's done in terms of introducing and advancing legislation with Democratic co-sponsors, and like it or not, that's what you have to do to actually move things into law. And I started pulling the record, and then I realized, well, this is the media bias itself. That terrifies them. The leftist media does not want to give any airtime to a Southern Republican female senator who's working with Democrats across the board on common ground. And it's very much the Reagan playbook when he worked with Tip O'Neill from Massachusetts on the 86 tax reforms. It was, I need you. This is dead on arrival if you don't work with me. And Britt's doing that. And it's just shocking that the media says, well, democracy dies in darkness and all this other stuff. But when our republic's functioning properly and we're working across the aisle where we can find common ground, no airtime, no oxygen in the room, because they'd rather talk about, the other one that was so compelling was J.D. Vance's eyeliner.
Yeah.
Whether he's wearing eyeliner or not gets way more airtime than
job. Right. Here's the problem, that they see what trends online, right? So what trends online in social media spaces, and they're following that. It's audience capture, right? They see what's happened over there, so they think, well, that works there, then we need to do that. But that's not what they're there for. right? And eventually, right. if they do that stuff, why do I need to go to a legacy media or even some of the new media that's bigger? Why do I need to go there to get what I can get my uncle posted on Facebook? I mean, why do I, why would I even go to them? Why don't I just go see what my uncle take, his take is?
Yeah, and a lot of the news now is things that people tweet. The article is so-and-so tweeted a thing.
No joke, yes.
And it's ridiculous, and I think we need to quit whining about government not functioning as we'd like it to, and the righteous, self-righteous media saying we would like these norms to be adhered to. We'd like all of this positivity. Okay, I hear you, but when you see and know someone's doing the right thing and is setting a high standard and is showing what leadership looks like, we don't talk about that at all. But I literally quote in the piece a Vox headline that clarified J.D. Vance did not have sex with a couch. Like, that's the type of thing that the media focuses on. So we shouldn't listen to them when they say, well, you know, Trump's violating all of these norms. Well, okay, show us what the norms look like. I'd rather not, because I'd rather be sensational.
Yeah, well, and also it drives this whole conversation, because, you know, somebody who is a Democrat or liberal will text the show, and they don't text me saying, hey, this subtlety of, you know, the what the Republicans want in this policy is wrong because of X, Y, and Z. You know, it is, hey, that person wears eyeliner. You know, and then if you respond to them, then there you are.
Right. And I think this is what, and I'm guilty of it too, because I know that if I talk about a future unburdened by what has been, man, I'm going to get everybody to turn out and click and yell and holler. But if I talk about, like I said, the nuances of body armor for DHS agents who are non-male, man, people fall asleep. And I understand some of that, but we've got to find a better balance, and we've got to look at it and say, when we've got leaders like Britt saying, hey, I'm not going to agree with you on a lot,
but
we can agree, I'll work with you. That's the right example, and we need to follow that.
People want to get more of this conversation. Where do they find your work, and how do they hit you up directly?
You're going to have to weed through some legacy media, but you can find me at AL.com/opinion. You can find me over at The Tennessean, and as always, on X at D. Cameron Smith.
As always, a pleasure, man. Thank you for filling in. Thanks for giving me a day off, man. I really appreciate it.
We had a lot of fun. Thank you, man.
All right. Cameron Smith, there he goes, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, that 12:26 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on back. Thank you for all the text. We'll get to some of these in a second. I also want to throw into the mix here. If you have this time of year for me, I got my eldest is off to school. But even if the kids are going to school locally, what a chance to gather up all their stuff. And I get it going with a big load of stuff going to with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It could be the kid's stuff. It's probably not your stuff. None of your stuff is junk. It could be a storage unit full of stuff. It could be junk outside your house. I mean, things that might have been good at one time, swing sets, above ground pool, storage building, whatever. You want the stuff gone. I got the guy to do it. He's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it for 16 years here in Mobile and Baldwin County, getting rid of the junk. To do it, make a call, go online, and get a good old-fashioned appointment. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number, and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Set that date. Get the kids' stuff made. While they're at school, gather it all up, the stuff that you don't, and let it go with the rest of the load for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So check them out online or on the telephone, 1-800-GOT-JUNK and 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Fire Dog said at UCLA, I didn't know you were brewing. UCLA, we had clothes, and we appropriated a door and two mismatched wood electrical spools for a table. That was a dorm room. I also hit a hot plate to make ramen noodles. Fire Dog, you and I lived somewhat a similar life. Think of the dilapidated condition of one of the houses I lived a couple of years at in Tuscaloosa, which actually got wiped out by the Tuscaloosa tornado. It was right there behind DCH in Tuscaloosa. I tell the story that I remember for like a week or two, and I had my two roommates, and I remember saying one day, hey, which one of you dudes got a cat? They're like, I didn't get a cat. I'm like, did you get a cat? He's like, no, I didn't get a cat. I said, y'all see? They said, yeah, I thought you got the cat. There's a cat in our house. And then there wouldn't be a cat in our house. The place we lived, Fire Dog, was so bad that the floor, the thing had been built in the 50s. These it had a coal-burning fireplace. And these wood floors were dropping out. And we had a hole under, I think it was the stove, I think. And so animals were coming and going from our house through that hole in our floor. It's kind of, so, yeah, we had doors for tables and all those kind of things. It was very different moving a young lady in to a dorm compared to what I existed in all those years ago. That's for sure. All right, coming back, we'll check in with Erica Thomas from 1819 News. A lot of stories to talk about here. After, you know, I left town, been, I think, a lot of movement here on what's happening with the idea about continuing dredge maintenance on the ship channel. And what to do with the extra, I guess, beyond 70% of the dredge spoil. I have another. So Eric and I will talk about that, what this meeting was the other night, I guess last night. People talking with Baykeeper. Also, Senator Britt talking about a plan here, $47 million in federal money to help keep the dredge material out of the bay. So that and a whole lot more coming up. Plus, my buddy John Young, Men United Against Violence, he joins us at 1.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Talk 35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. I don't know that one thing has anything to do with anything else. You know, who am I? But as people wait for Iran's response to Israel, and you know, they were going to have another meeting for the peace talks. The ceasefire talks. This story just popped up. Iran's central bank what's the headline here from? Let's see. Is it? Yeah. Central bank crippled in massive cyber attack. So I don't know. I don't know if that means that something's getting ready to pop. But they're. Who knows? It's probably. You know what they probably did at the Iran central bank. What? Does anybody have any idea what they would use in Iran for? Do you think you're using McAfee? What they're using for their, they probably had to update, or Windows, they had to hit the Windows update there at Iran Central Bank, and but they're saying it's a cyber attack, but they could have just been updating Windows. I don't know. And I don't know if one thing has anything to do with anything else. We'll just put that out there and let it stew for a little bit. All right, without further delay, it's Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Hey, you.
Howdy, Sean. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. I'm back from, a little tour of the eastern part of the United States and back here at home, so all's good. And I left, and, like, the story I've been following, a lot has happened here. I mean, specifically last night, you're writing about the Baykeeper had their town hall last night about the dredge material in the bay. What came from this? And was it well-attended?
Oh, yeah. I counted over 150 people there. I was counting. It was standing room only at one point. But the Mobile Baykeeper held this town hall meeting about the widening and deepening project at the Port of Mobile. And they will have another one next week on the Eastern Shore. But we'll get to that later. But, yeah, last night there were dozens of people that came forward to talk about their experience and their version of what's been going on in the Mobile Bay. They say that this project is threatening vegetation, wildlife, and the quality of life. And you'll remember we've already talked about the letter of intent to sue that the Baykeeper sent to the Army Corps of Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was really interesting last night was a man who used to be a project manager for the Army Corps of Engineers spoke himself. And what he had to say was very interesting. He pointed out that a lot of times things don't get done the right way because there's politics in the way of things. And so I thought it was a very interesting perspective to hear from him.
Okay, so this is somebody who had just worked with the Corps or worked on the dredging project, worked here?
He worked in Mobile.
Okay, so he is somebody who had been working. And what was his take on the dredge spoil?
Well, he said, you know, there's obvious visual impact happening, and he's worried about all of the different types of metals, heavy metals that might be found in that stuff that they get from real deep and then put it somewhere else. And he said the only way to really do anything is to keep doing what Mobile Baykeeper is doing, to keep having these meetings, to come in big numbers. Because he said in his experience, when there was an issue and just a couple, two or three people came forward, nothing was really done. But a lot of the people making decisions, they depend on elections to have jobs. So when it's a large number of people that have concerns, he said, that's when you really get things done. And I think that's important for any type of issue that you're having with your local government. You know, a lot of times people don't get involved until there's already a problem.
Absolutely.
And so this is a reminder, you know, stay informed. Continue to go to meetings, council meetings, library board meetings before there's an issue. So that way you're well informed of what's going on in your community. And this project is an example of what could have been if people would have been more involved before there was an alleged issue.
But you know what happened there? What happened there, and it is incumbent upon us, overall, the media, right, it did not get the coverage back then. Because I know that I've had people in from the port who said, hey, we had this. It was up in 2019. It was discussed. And I was thinking about it, talking to other people in the business. I remember talking about I had an issue with where they were talking about building a wetland, and I wanted it further south than where they were talking about. They were going to do like another idea, like a Gilliard Island, and put the spoil in there. But I don't remember the discussion of the putting the dredge material back in the bay. It what happened here is it got enough attention because of, I think, something dramatic with the plan to file a lawsuit from Baykeeper that it got media talking, and now that started the engine. Here it goes, right? The people are now engaged because they heard about it.
That's right. And also the people that are being impacted include commercial fishermen. Barry Wyatt was one that spoke last night, and he has a commercial oyster reef. And he said since this project has been going on, he's lost 60% of that reef. So we're seeing an impact that people are really concerned about, and they just want that addressed. But at the same time, I believe the people that are doing this project, they want to protect, you know, sea life, marine life as well. So they have done things to make sure that they're being held accountable by environmental groups. They're trying to make sure they're doing everything right. And even the Alabama Port Authority CEO has said, let's come to the table and talk about this before we file a lawsuit. Because there are things that can be done to mitigate, you know, some of these issues. And they really do want to work with the Baykeeper and the people who make their money in Mobile Bay.
And so this meeting was, like you said, this person was with the Corps, said have more meetings. Did Baykeeper say they're having more meetings? What's coming up?
Yes, next Tuesday at 6 p.m. there will be another town hall very similar to what happened this week. It'll be at the Fairhope United Methodist Church. So those people who didn't get to make it last night, they can come next week. But also the Baykeeper has a meeting with the Army Corps of Engineers at the end of the month. So hopefully they will have some dialogue.
Yeah, I would rather them do that, right, than just let the lawyers do it. I would much rather them sit down and do this, you know, group to group versus having it play out in the courts. I mean, I'd rather it not do it that way if it can be helped.
Yes, and they did. They laid out six requests that they have to the U.S. Corps of Engineers, and you can go on 1819news.com and see the list of those six things. And some of those things were very simple fixes, and they are all hopeful that there will not be a lawsuit. The Mobile Baykeeper said last night they really want to avoid a lawsuit at all costs. They just want to be heard.
And you also had written about Senator Britt bringing some money in, acquiring some money. So what is the money for? What is she saying about the port and the dredging?
Yes, yeah, so this just came out yesterday right before this meeting. And in fact, the Mobile Baykeeper, they said, we really don't know all the details about what this is about, but we are going to look into it And they were very positive about it, but they also said this is a lot of money that's going to go to, you know, make sure that this project can be environmentally beneficial. So even though it's an additional $47 million for the Corps of Engineers, and so they want to make sure that this money is well spent. They're going to continue watching how it is spent, and they really would like to have a say in how that happens. And so, yes, Katie Britt did announce that yesterday, and hopefully it'll make a difference.
Yeah, maybe that's now new information. They go to this next sit down and they go, okay, with it. You know, I'm just guessing. I don't know, but that will be a way to do it. And speaking of money, so Governor comes to town. I know she's on her tour of let's get back to school, y'all, for the kids. But she came back to town to make it rain, baby. $30 million in Go Mesa funds. This has been key to some of these projects around here in Mobile County and Baldwin County that I like a whole bunch, and it seems like there's more of that coming.
Yes, she announced yesterday that there are, I believe it was around $30 million that are going to go to 25 different coastal projects through the Go Mesa funds. And she was very excited to make this announcement, but also a lot of our local leaders were super excited about this. I know we heard from the Orange Beach City Schools Superintendent, Randy Wilkes, and he said his school is getting nearly $1 million to work on the Sea, Sand, and Stars Environmental Learning Center. And so that's going to be really cool because this is already something that exists, but they're going to be able to make renovations and create 9 new exhibits. They're going to do renovations to their 5,000-gallon saltwater aquarium and the planetarium. So it's going to be really neat to see what this money does. And this center is not only for students, but the public can visit as well.
This would be a reason to be the governor, so you could be like Oprah, and you get a grant, That's the fun part of the gig.
Yesterday was really fun for Lower Alabama. I mean, there's a list of all these projects that are getting so much money. I mean, there's a lot of them that are getting over $1 million, and they're all local. So we should see some changes happening for the better in this region.
Well, do this. Tell folks how to find your stories online and read up on these stories and a whole lot more.
Yeah, go to 1819news.com. We publish all the stories that you're not going to see anywhere else, and you're going to see that there are many great and wonderful things about Alabama, and also there are a lot of things that could use some improvement. So we're going to look into all those stories that, you know, other outlets aren't going to touch with a 10-foot pole. So definitely go to 1819news.com, and you can also email news@1819news.com and tell us about a story you think we should look into.
Good stuff. Erica, as always, I appreciate it, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. There she goes, Erica Thomas from 1819 News. And we're coming back. I do want to say before we go to the break here, I'm glad that there's some movement. You know, I left town, come back, and there's some movement on this to try to find a way. Instead of doing this all in the courtroom, is there a way to get these two entities and the people they represent together to keep the ship channel widened and deepened, and at the same time being able to, protect the bay? Maybe there's a third way. It's always interesting.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Time to check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Man, has anything, since I left, are you still got the trailer deal if you buy the L-Series tractor? Is that still going on?
We still have the package deal we're promoting now for coming up on deer season, dove season, in the foreseeable future. You buy an L-Series tractor with two implements. It could be any two implements. We got all the implements in stock right now. Bush hogs, pallet forks, disc, box blades, the lane charts to go on the front.
I love those things.
So you buy any of those two implements to go with that tractor, and we're going to throw in the 7x20 trailer for free. All of that qualifies for the zero interest financing through Kubota. So we got plenty of it in stock, anticipating deer season in the future.
Absolutely. If y'all are don't have a tractor or you're tired of messing with the one you have and it's time to make that move, get a new one. What about rental? How are things looking over there?
We're steadily adding stuff to our rental fleet because a lot of it has stayed out longer than anticipated. But we've got plenty of stock in rental right now, a little bit of everything. So if you're looking to go to the hunting camp, don't want to buy a tractor, you could come and rent it for the weekend, the week, the month, whatever you want to do. But also we got plenty of stuff if you got projects around the house as well. All the way down to handheld tools up to big excavators, bulldozers, skid steers, a little bit of everything.
Got my attention. If folks want to take advantage of these deals or the rental fleet, how do they get in touch with you? How do they find you?
You can call us at 251-947-4171 or come by and see us. We're right here at Parrish Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 8 till noon.
Thank you, Blaine. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine Price over at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Let's go to the phones, and then we'll get to some text. And let's see here. David, downtown Dog River, up next. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, how you doing? Listen to you every day.
Thank you, man. I keep a job because of that. Thank you. I appreciate you.
But me and a good friend, we've been fishing over 50 years together. He lives on Fowl, and I live on Dog River. And we were out this weekend. We were talking about the dredging and everything, and I'm all for the port because my son, my brother-in-law, and my brother, all president, they're longshoremen and everything else, and it's just going better. The business people have no clue on that. Don't even want to get into it. But we started talking about how we brought our kids out to the Spoil Island, which is Gilliard Island, mm-hmm. before they named it, and we take them up there because the birds were already coming out of their hatchings. There was a trail where people walked, and you could see it. It was just ungodly until they made it a bird sanctuary, and you can't go out there anymore. But we were sitting there fishing. The wind was so bad out of the northeast at 17 knots. We were fishing on the south side of Gilliard when we were catching, but it wasn't what we wanted to catch. But the whole thing, we started talking about why not just build a spoil island on the other side of the industrial canal going toward Fowl River and do the same thing on the other side of Dog River Bridge going back to Brooklyn.
Yep. So, you know, they had talked about it at one point. It's been a couple of years ago. And in my only issue back then is I wanted them to move a spoil island, or they were going to kind of make a spoil island with marsh complex. I just wanted it further down the Tensaw Bar. I was like, hey, don't put it where we already got grass. Put it, you know, where it's deeper and we don't have grass. And that discussion kind of went away. But they have all these other projects they're going to use. I think it's 70% of the dredge spoil for what they call beneficial use projects. I guess the question is the remaining 30% that they want to put back into the water there versus hauling offshore or putting on land somewhere. And you know, baykeepers said that there are other places, Chesapeake Bay, and I think in Biloxi, where they're doing dredging projects, that they are doing it that way, that they're putting 100% of it not back in the water. They're doing it for beneficial use or hauling it away, not putting it back in the water column.
Well, I'm just saying, why is there so much a debate? Why can't they just come up with solutions, talk to everybody about it, and make it simple instead of let's shut it down, period?
Right, because it's government.
Exactly.
The government and common sense maybe not always on the same page. David, I appreciate your call. And yeah, leave some fish out there for me. I'll be about this time of year. I'm going to be around Gilliard myself. And no, you're not supposed to get up in above the riprap and onto Gilliard Island to look. You're not supposed to do that. You can get in trouble if they catch you. I hope that. And one of the things on the Corps' defense here, they're bound by, and I don't know if this has changed, but I remember conversations I've had with Mayor Collier at Dauphin Island, they're bound by this lowest cost option. It was, you know, before where different kind of dredge material. You got mud in some areas, sandy mud or muddy sand in other areas, and just sand in some. And down at the south end of the bay, it's a lot more sand. And my question back then, this would have been after a series of storms. Maybe it was after Katrina and, you know, just the amount of sand they were having to put back on Dauphin Island. And I, just being like everybody else, said, hey, why don't y'all, when you dredge the sand out there on the south end of the bay, just go ahead and pipe it right onto Dauphin Island. And because at that point they were carrying it to the beneficial use area, which is offshore, right? And then it's kind of like a bank shot in pool. You know, you put it out there, but then it ends up coming onto Dolphin Island. But in that process, obviously, you lose some. And I said, why don't you, you know, I remember asking the mayor, like, why don't they just skip that and just put it on the island? And he said the Corps was bound by the lowest cost option and any other things. This thing was part of what their rules were. Is that going into this, you know, and does it, is the lower cost option to take that last 30% or whatever and put it back into the bay? Well, can you, do you have to move things in Washington to have them to where they can keep it all, you know, in a beneficial use or take it offshore? I don't know. But, I mean, they were bound by that. So I don't know if that's the same thing now. But this is the kind of stuff that happens when you have conversations about it versus just everybody getting in their corner. Paul says, he said, I used to fish inside Gilliard. I did something else with birds. And, well, maybe. I don't know what the statute of limitations are. But there used to be some ducks that would come in there. I'll put it that way. This person responding about Waltz. He said Waltz is more of an HOA president trying to give you fines for your everyday. More than that. Okay. He's an HOA president trying to give you fines more than your everyday man. Tucker says far-right populist versus far-left progressive. There's no middle represented in this election whatsoever. That is true, true, true. This texture says Walls has support from Biden's Chinese masters. Money talks. You know what? We'll talk about Walls too in the conversation. So my buddy John Young's coming in at Men Unite Against Violence. We're going to talk about 10 years since, you know, Ferguson. Talk about where are we better? What about what happened in Minneapolis under Walls's watch? We'll do that and a whole lot more coming up next.